Thank you, Brother Donnie. My apologies to him. It was 5 minutes before this service was to start that I asked him to be in charge. So he graciously said yes. I keep forgetting about things like that. I wouldn't say that they're not important. It's just that I sometimes think of everything. I'd like to also welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last Sunday in Sunday school and in the service, the scripture in page 220 in the Book of Mormon, and for my sister Neva, it was chapter 2 of Messiah, 13th verse. Believe in God, believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. What is it that usually changes our focus in life? Is it the good things or the bad? And overwhelmingly, it always seems to be the bad. They change our focus or begin to in an instant. Paul, on the way to Damascus, Alma, the second Alma, when he was with the sons of Messiah. You know, the interesting thing about Paul is I think that we're all blinded also. He thought he was doing God's work. And you know, I look back in my life, and even when I first started on this journey in the gospel, I look back and think of how wrong in some ways that I thought I understood the gospel was. It was my way of thinking. And this verse, and I only use the one verse, and the reason why, and I don't want you to lose that page because I'm going to go back to it. Believe in God, believe that He is, and that He created all things both in heaven and earth. Have you considered that scripture? Because it's used quite a bit. Sounds simple enough. And like I said, I believe that it was referenced several times last week for me. How do we believe? Were you raised in the church? Did you marry into the church? Your wife or your husband? Or were you blinded on the way to Damascus? You see, I was that last one. I was blinded on the way to Damascus. Had nothing to reference before. Had no traditions. Changed my life in dramatic ways. And it put me on a journey. And I believe that I think we all should be blinded on the way to Damascus like Paul. If I believe that there is a God and He is real to me, why would I ever tell someone a lie? Why would I ever treat someone unkindly? Because you know that that is not God's way. But it is how the natural man is. I want to read some more of these scriptures. Verse 14 and 15. in that second chapter of Messiah. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. Why do you not understand? Seems simple enough. We read the scriptures, they tell a good story. It's more than a story. It changes our very beings that we are. And don't tell me there aren't consequences. As reminders of that event, sometimes I skipped over something. I want you to think about something. See that right there? Hit myself with a hammer. Yeah, felt good. But it leaves a scar. And that was only a couple days ago, but it's already started to heal. All right? And it'll be good as new. Didn't really hurt that bad. I mean, I hit it hard enough, so. But what is a scar? And I've got them all over my hands. It's a reminder. Once it's healed, there's just that little scar there to tell us that we did something wrong. It tells us of an incident or something that happened in our lives. That's what a scar does. All it is a reminder. Some never show. Now, it depends on how bad that incident was. That incident, sometimes, you know, those scars never show unless we reveal them to someone. But they change how we look at things. Maybe I shouldn't have put my hand there. Maybe I should have done something different. I had a glove on, and I thought, I've seen this red coming through the glove. I knew I'd done something, but it was cold. Didn't really matter. It was minor. But the major ones that happen in our lives are the things that change our focus. Like Paul on the way to Damascus. He's blinded. Had to have help. From what I've read in the scriptures, Paul was one of those guys, really. You know, didn't seem to need too much help at that time. Thought he understood how things were. You know, when I was growing up, I always had lots of knives and axes and things like that. And I've got many places on these hands where I should have lost a couple digits or whatever. But anyway, the Lord seemed fit to keep them all together. So I think that's good. But they change the way that we look at things. And I've had to, over the years, look at things a lot differently. If you had no pain in your life, and it, you know, caused a little bit of pain, but if you had no pain in your life, you would never think that there was anything wrong. You see, God gives us pain, and it's for a reason. It tells us that there's something wrong. You ever think about that? If you had no pain, you'd have no reason to think that there was anything wrong. You'd be walking around with a broken leg. It wouldn't make any difference to you until it started sticking out through the side. You see, God reveals things to us through pain. If you ever tell a lie, bend the truth, treat others badly, I don't care what it is, we should feel pain. So much so that it would change the way that we did things. I want you to go to Romans, the 8th chapter, and there's just one scripture in there. Actually, I might read two. Change my mind. I know I had it marked somewhere. 8th chapter, and I'm going to start in the 12th verse. Therefore, brethren, we are dead as not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we should die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What does that word mortify mean? And what it says, I looked it up on Google, and it says, cause someone to feel embarrassed, ashamed, or humiliated. But for the most part, we are not. We can continue on never really changing anything about ourselves, thinking that we are doing okay. But yet God uses events to change our way of thinking. I want you to go to 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter. And I'm sure most of you know what this is, because this was an event that changed King David and changed Israel. And this is kind of a long read, and I don't know whether I really... I think we'll have time. And this is about King David and Bathsheba. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent forth Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanliness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. This was a man after God's own heart. And there's a reason why this is in here. You see, King David was going to have to pay a price for this, some pain. Do you believe that? I do. And so he thought of a way that maybe he could get out of this. He knew what he'd done. You would know that what you'd done was wrong. And so he thought, well, look. He thought in his mind what he would do, right? And when Uriah, and this is in the 7th verse, and when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. Really didn't care. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. And Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, comest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thy house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark of Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest, and as thou soul livest, I will not do this thing. And David said to Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him to eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. He made him drunk. Still wanted him to get it out of this embarrassment, this humiliation. And yet, this man was a servant. He considered the king's, whatever it was, more important than his own. You ever thought about that? I think about those things, because how am I supposed to be if in our Sunday school this morning, the two great commandments, love thy God with all thy heart, mind, might, strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. All these things Uriah showed in his character. And at even, he went not to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto the place where he knew that valiant men were. I want you to think about that. This man had more character than King David. And you've got to ask yourself, now why would God allow this to happen? What about Paul? Before he was blinded, who was it that they stoned? Was it not Stephen? A righteous man? Wasn't any different. But God, and we think a different way. We think that we're exempt because we know our God. He is ours. And so if we tell a lie or anything, we're exempt because the blood of Christ covers that, right? See, not so. Not so. And so David said, well, I'll get rid of the problem. I'll just get rid of the problem. Have to think about David's way of thinking. It's just one person. I'll lose thousands in a day in those battles. What's one more? You see, he thought he was exempt. And God wanted to reveal this in his character. These things happen to us for a reason. They reveal something in our character about how we're not supposed to be. We never seem to learn that lesson. We know that we're not supposed to tell a lie. We know that we're not supposed to treat someone unkindly or unfair. And yet we do. You see, David wanted to cover up that sin. That's what he wanted to do. And so one way or another, that's what he did. In these scriptures here in the Book of Mormon, believe in God. If you believe in God, you might have a problem. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power. Absolutely. I've seen him do incredible things. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. I tell people I'm as sharp as a marble. But I understand that there is a process that God goes through in changing who we are. And it is through these trials. He wanted to reveal this to King David. And Uriah was more righteous than King David. God had created Uriah for a specific purpose. What kind of principles do you use or have in how you deal with one another? I don't mean just people in church. I mean in people that you talk to every day. Are we an embarrassment to the Lord? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. The 11th chapter. You see, the trials that God puts us through, we get to pick which ones and which ones we want and which ones we don't. Correct? Not so. There's some that I wished I hadn't have been through, but they revealed something about my character. And so I learned from those things. And just like Paul, when Paul was blinded on the way to Damascus, if he had known all the things that were before him, he said, I don't need this. I think I'll take a different course. But that wasn't Paul. And so in that 11th chapter, and I'll start in the 23rd verse, he kind of names off some of those things that he went through. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, more abundant in stripes, more measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeying oft, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watching oft, in hunger and in thirst, and fasting oft, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without. That which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. Each one of those things, how would we do? How exempt was Paul? I can tell you this much. Paul was not my first choice to go on a cruise with. You know, and if you look in that, I think it's the second to last chapter of Acts there, where it talks about that 14 days in that storm. And you know, when they started out, they didn't believe a word Paul said. I don't think this is going to be such a good journey. Oh, really? But at the end of the journey, they all listened to Paul. Wasn't by accident. Changed every one of those people on that ship. And I'm sure of that. Would have changed me. You see, the centurions were supposed to kill all the prisoners if something like that was going to happen. But they didn't. Why? For Paul's sake. You know, I don't think we realize the impact we have on people's lives, either for good or for bad. And I was explaining in Sunday school this morning that being out of town, and at the motel, one particular morning there was a guy that was a minister there, and we got to talking about the gospel, and he said about how that the people had changed, and then we continued on talking, and he was saying, well, if you were going to steal something, you know, take issue with you stealing a car or whatever, but that toaster, it was okay. And my response was, I said, I thought the scripture said not to steal at all. Didn't matter what it was. Was the thought in it. Didn't make one less or more than the other and, you know, put a value on it. And that's what man does. He says, well, you know, this over here is okay. Really? Where did it say that? And my boss was sitting over the other little ways away. He has better hearing than I do anyway. And I said to him, I said, oh, you know, I said, that seemed a little odd. And he says, yeah. I said, not much of a preacher, huh? But people make those assessments. And sometimes we do too. We say that one is okay, but yet it's all under the same category. It's still lying. Or it's still saying, you know, you justify the things that you do. I don't try and justify what I do. Man assumes that because it's small or of not much value, that it's okay. I want to finish off these verses, and I'm going to start in that 17th verse there. And now, if you believe that all these things, see that you do them. See that you do them. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of the goodness and have tasted of his love, and he received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so, I would that ye should remember and always retain a remembrance the greatness of God in your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you, unworthy creatures. This is me, unworthy creature. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. I know that my nothingness tells me that I have to live after these statutes of my God. He sets the example, the way of doing things, and yet we think that we are exempt. We are not exempt. We are far from it. We are more responsible because we know more. I want you to think about that, because I believe the time is coming that those character traits are going to be very important. Not what the world says, what you say, and how you believe. And I want to thank you for your time, and I am thankful and blessed in the many things that my God has done for me. Changed the way that I looked at things. Hit me with a bigger hammer than that. Really did. And in many ways, I am thankful for that. It's been quite a journey for me. Not over yet. I don't think so. But you never know. But anyway, I want to thank you for coming. I want to thank you for your time. And I just praise my God. I truly do. God bless you.